as a church, but as a family of churches, to keep committing to the enough evenings of prayer. The next one is coming up on the 21st of June. Friday evening in Norwich. More details nearer the time. But again, I just urge you, prayer is a priority. It's always a priority, but we really sense God calling us to prayer. So please try and get there if you possibly can. Also on a Friday, we have church prayer from 9 to 10 if you're able to get along then. Some are using Fridays to integrate a bit of fasting into our week. That's happening not just in this church, but across relational mission churches. So you might want to fast on a Friday breakfast or a Friday lunch or both perhaps. So I just put that out there for you. Let's put prayer and fasting up on our agenda. But the second priority is everyone a witness, and that's what we're about today. So if you would quickly turn with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 13 through to 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be good God's will, than for doing evil. You know, choose your destiny. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. I just want to make a few really quick comments based on this passage. The first one, the motive of the witness. The motive of the witness. That's in verse 15. The first bit of verse 15. It's Christ. It's Christ in us. Honour him in your hearts. He, as Howard reminded us, he is our destiny. It's all about him. He's the way. He is the way. Let him be the motive. It's because of what he's done in your heart that you've got something to share with other people. Christ is our motive. And that motive can overcome fear. We might feel a little bit afraid, perhaps, of speaking to people in this day and age about the Lord Jesus. But then when we consider him, consider what he's done for us, what he means to us, as we honour him in our hearts, this will help us to overcome that kind of fear. So the first thing then, the motive of the witness, it's Christ. Secondly, the message of the witness. And the message is there in verse 18, right at the end there. It's a simple message. It is that Jesus, the man who is also God, as we were seeing last week, died for us. If he was just a man who died, then what would be the benefit of that? What use would that be to us? I mean, a person who died, people die all the time. What's the big deal? Jesus is the man who is God. He died for us. That's our message. That's our message. In verse 21, he connects it to baptism, in fact. And just to say on that note, we've got a date set aside a bit later in the summer to do a baptism. If you, over recent weeks, have been thinking and being drawn to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to believe that he's man and that he's God and that he died for you and get baptized. So maybe that's a step for you to be thinking about. So the motive is Christ. The message, well, that's Christ as well. And then the methods. Did you notice in the second part of verse 15 and verse 16, the methods? Four very quick things to say. The first one is, be prepared. Be ready. Get ready. Be prepared. It's like the expectation is you are going to get an opportunity to witness. You don't know exactly when it's going to happen, so get ready. And so we're going to be doing some specific training on that before the next half hour is over. You will be better prepared by the time the clock hits 12 than you are right now, because we've got to be prepared. Think about the questions that people might ask. and investigate them. People say, well, surely Jesus can't be God. Well, that's what part of what we were doing last week. Or, you know, he was an alien or something like that. We've got to be prepared to answer the different sorts of questions that people come. We've got to be prepared. But did you notice also, he said, as we do it, as we give that reason, and a reason is like an explanation. It's reasonable. We're using some defensive arguments to say this is who Jesus is and this is what it means and this is why he's not that, but he is this, and so on and so forth. But the manner in which we are to do it, which perhaps should be my fourth, is that we are to be gentle. Be gentle. And I mean, it's in the eternal word of God to be gentle, but I really, really think in our culture it's worth emphasizing that. Most people do not like to be roughed up by people who speak to them. They like to be treated with gentleness. Jesus was gentle. So we can be very clear. We can state the truth exactly as it is. But gentleness must be a hallmark of our method and our manner. And he connects that immediately to be respectful. Gentleness with respect. Now, it might be difficult to respect a person's bizarre and completely ill-thought-through conclusion, but somehow we've got to respect the person in the way that we communicate with them, even if they're saying something which is so obviously nonsense. And to be honest with you, a lot of the questions and the comments you meet, really, they're so weak that it's hard not to almost laugh at them sometimes. But actually, we must treat the person with respect. Because why are they going to want to hear what we've got to say if we're not respectful in the way that we treat them? So be gentle, be respectful. And he says, have a good conscience. And so I think that means something along the lines of that let your lifestyle and your words be kind of like of the same thing. So if you're a gossip at work, you're going to undermine when you try to tell people the truth. If you're slightly dishonest, if you're not kind, if you don't give people time, and then you try to tell them about Jesus, I don't think they want to hear. It's like what it says up on the wall. You know, we've got to be light, we've got to be salt, city on a hill, a beautiful field. Didn't you just love that? God's word says, by the way, that we are a field. It's in 1 Corinthians 3. It says, you are God's field, you are God's building. The people in the world are supposed to see us, and it's supposed to make them want to say, wow, what's different about you? Why have you got hope when everyone's going crazy about what's going on with our politics? Why have you got hope when you're going through this time of sickness and suffering? There's supposed to be a beauty about us. It's individual and it's corporate. A building made of many bricks, a field made of many flowers. Individually, we're to reflect it and provoke it, and corporately. So friends, we are called to be witnesses. Here are some really simple pointers for the way that we're to approach it. I'm going to hand over now to Phil, who is going to share with us something practical that we can get involved in doing individually and together. So, Phil, over to you.
Morning. Okay, so as I have talked to you before, this is a practical way that you can invite people to church. Now, what we're actually wanting is to really convey Jesus' heart to our town. And this is why we've chosen this line, a heart for Dereham in the heart of Norfolk. And we just felt really that this is what we wanted to say. We wanted to say to everyone in our town, Jesus loves you and you are welcome to come and be here, be part of this, and just come and have a look in a most unthreatening way. Okay, so what I'm actually asking is for home group leaders and people who maybe live in some of the outlying villages to take a bunch of cards and do a street. Commit yourselves to doing a street. Maybe home group leaders on a summer evening, instead of meeting in your home with your home group, commit to going down a street and putting one of these cards through each door. Now, after our Easter egg fun, we were just been thinking a little bit about how maybe you could do this creatively. So I wonder whether down your street you might like to take some cakes to the people on your street with a card. Or maybe if you know some of the folk on your street and you've already started to build a relationship with them, maybe you would like to knock on their door and give them a card. Maybe invite them for a barbecue or something. But just with your home group, if you could just be take a bunch of cards and think about and pray about how you would like to deliver your cards, these cards. Now, what we would love to do is deliver one of these cards to every home in Dereham and some of the surrounding villages. So I have a Dereham town map, and so I'd really appreciate it if when you've delivered some cards to a street, you could let me know so that I could actually mark it off on the street. And then in that way, we would know that every house has been done or as much as we can. Now, this can just be a slow burn thing that we could be doing over the year, so don't feel that there's a massive amount of pressure on you to get out and do every house in the next couple of weeks. Just be considering and praying over these few summer months how you could deliver some of these to your street and your surrounding streets. So it is down to you, really. I will be doing some, and I know some of you already individually have been taking some of these cards and doing your street. So please, this is just so unthreatening. This is an unthreatening invite, really. It just says, a heart for Dereham in the heart of Norfolk. And on the back, it just very simply says who we are and what we stand for, saying, please come and visit us. So this is not, I'm not asking you to do, yes. It works. Well, there you go. Bob is here amongst us because of one of these cards, which is wonderful. And we love having you with us, Bob. So yes, that's it, really. So I just ask you to consider this as a way of introducing Jesus to our town. Okay. Anything else I've missed?
Okay, so Marie is now going to come and do some super-duper training for us. Should we give her a round of applause as she comes?
Okay, so Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. And what John has asked me to do today is just show you a simple message, a simple way to share the gospel. It's going to be a drawing way, so those that saw it on Facebook or on the WhatsApp group, you need pen and some paper. We've got pen and paper. We're going to go through this in a little while. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk you through it, and then I'll probably go through it again just so that you've heard it a second time, and then we're going to break down into pairs, and you're going to have a go, one drawing and explaining it to the other, and then vice versa, and I'll give you times to swap. So but it's a really useful tool just to be able to think about and explain the gospel. It could be you have a conversation with someone, and the way it's often taught, and one of the ways I've used it, is you go up to someone and say, hi, I'm in my situation, how I often use it, because I this is one of the ways I go out and evangelize if I'm on the streets, is, hi, I'm out prayer walking. I've asked Jesus if there's anyone that I can pray for. Can I pray for you? And if they say yes, then I pray for them, and then I ask them, so what do you think about Jesus? And then I ask that, listen, it's really important, as we've already heard, listen to what they say. And then I say, can I explain to you and just draw you a quick picture of what I believe about Jesus? And this is a tool that you can use that in. So this is what we're going to do today. So just bear with me. Right, so it's, can everybody see? It might be easier if you guys kind of shift around, because I'm not sure I'm going to be able to share it otherwise. And this diagram literally can take you 90 seconds to explain the gospel. One of the reasons why it's so good is because it's visual. So most people will remember stuff that they've seen instead of words that they've heard. So when you explain the gospel this way, you are showing them something to remember. You can write it on the back of a beer mat. You can write it on the back of a napkin. If you're really prepared, you can have a notepad in your handbag or in your back pocket or your man bag if you carry one of them. And it's just a really good way. You can then tear it off, give it to them, and it gives them something to see, think about, and process once you've left them. So it starts with, So it starts with, this is the world that we live in. And as you can see, by looking all around, it's a broken world. We can see that really clearly by the amount of death, war, suffering that is going on in the world. But that is not how God created the world. God created the world to be a place of wholeness, love, joy, peace. However, we've turned our back on God. And we've done what the Bible calls sin. And by sin, that means we've lived our lives our way. We lie, we cheat, we just don't be obedient to God. And as a result of that sin, we're living in this brokenness. But we try and escape the brokenness by all sorts of different ways. It could be religion. It could be fame. It could be success, money, sports, gym, family, all sorts of different things. We try and escape this brokenness by that. But it's like being on a bungee cord, and those things often pull us back into the brokenness eventually. They don't last forever, and we realize that we're still living in that brokenness. But God had a perfect plan all along. And he came down in human form in the name of Jesus. And he lived the perfect life. But Jesus was killed on that cross by wicked men like you and me because he said that he was God, and he was God. But he didn't just die. He rose again 3 days later, conquering death, sin, and shame. And what God, Jesus, has done for us is he's created a way out of the brokenness. And what he said was that we need to turn and believe in him. And when we turn to Jesus and we believe in him as God, as our Savior, that he died on that cross for our sin, and we put him as King and Lord over our lives, then what he promises is that he will restore us to that relationship that we're meant to have with God, and that he will change us. He promises he will come and live within us, and he will change us more and more into what we should be. And we will have a promise that we will eventually be with God forever. And what also happens when we ask Jesus into our lives and we put him as Lord and Savior is two things. One, as I've said, he comes and lives within us and he changes us. And the other is that he calls us to go back into the brokenness to share the hope of what Jesus has done for you. Now, most people find themselves in one of two camps. Either you're living in the brokenness, or you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and put him as King in your life, and you're living in that relationship with him and you know God's love. Now, which one are you? Are you living in brokenness, or are you living as a child of God? I'm living as a child of God. Great, that's wonderful. Have you seen this before? Are you able to share the gospel? If not, can I encourage you to learn this? You're living in brokenness. Where would you like to be? Over here. Okay, so what is stopping you from asking Jesus into your life, believing in him, turning, making him Lord, and moving over here? At which point, hopefully, they'll say nothing, and we can go through the prayer. So that is the three circles model of sharing the gospel. I hope you agree it's fairly simple. It covers pretty much every aspect of the gospel, and you've got a real visual thing there that people can use to think about how the gospel and how that impacts. You can also use this if someone says, I would like to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You can use it to pray with them. So you can say, Jesus, I am sorry that I have sinned. I'm sorry for whatever it is that is their thing and their brokenness. I turn to you today and I believe in you. I believe that you are God, that you died for my sin and that you've risen again. Jesus, I want to make you Lord and King over my life. Please come into me, restore me to the relationship and the fullness of you. I want to know your love for me. Amen. So who thinks I need to do that again? Or do you think you've got it nailed and you can do it now? Again? Okay, I thought you might. So this is the current world that we live in. As you can see, it's broken. And we can see that by the amount of death, suffering, pain in the world today. But that is not how God created the world. God created the world to be a place of love, joy, peace, and in a relationship with him. However, we have turned our back on God and lived life our way. The Bible calls this sin, and that can be lying, just being disobedient to God, cheating, thieving, all those things are sin. But because we're living in this brokenness, we don't want to live here. We try and escape the brokenness by all sorts of different ways. It could be religion, it could be fame, wealth, success, health, addiction, all sorts of different things. But those things are like on a bungee cord. They always pull us back into the brokenness at some point. But God had a perfect plan. He came down in the form of Jesus and lived the perfect life. Jesus was killed by wicked men like you and me because he called himself God, because he is God, although he was perfect and he was human. But he didn't just die. He rose again 3 days later, conquering sin and the grave. Now, Jesus said he made a way. And he said that if we turn and believe in him, and if we put him as Lord and King over our lives, he cancels out that sin and he restores us into a relationship with God, and we can know his love and his wholeness. And when he does that, two things happen. One, he comes and lives inside of us and he transforms us to make us more like Jesus. And the other is that we're called to go back into the brokenness to share the good news of Jesus and what he's done for us. Now, most people find themselves living in one of two camps. Either you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior of your life and you know him and you have that personal relationship with him and you're living in this world, or you're still living in the brokenness. Which one are you? I'm not going to go through the rest of it. Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm just going to encourage you to give it a try. It doesn't matter if you get this wrong. It doesn't matter if you stumble. It's not a problem. We're all friends. We're just going to have a go at practicing this. Okay, so we've got some pens and paper. If you need pen and paper, if you can stick your hand up, and we can give me some of the paper. I'll take. That was obviously going to work. You got pen, paper, Matthew? Do you need anything? Stick your hand up if you need pen or paper. If you need a pen, stick your hand up over there, Pete. Yep. All right. Pen, Pete. Ready? Okay, so if you haven't already, is there anybody that's not in a pair or needs a partner to do it with? Excellent. Are you doing it with Matt? Pete, are you doing it with Matt?
Yeah, I was
Yeah, cool. Thank Okay, you've got about 2 minutes left, if that. after. Okay, so I'm sorry if you've not had chance to have a go, but we're running out of time very drastically now. So, right, if I could just have your attention again, please. So if you've been in a situation where you've been able to share this with someone, whether they've accepted Jesus or not, then I just really encourage you to make sure that you rip it off. You can give them your telephone number and say, like, here you go, have this, think about it. Here's my name and my telephone number. If you've got any questions, get in touch. If you have had some... a real divine encounter and someone has said, yes, I want to follow Jesus, and you've prayed the prayer with them, then it's really important that you then try and follow that up. And so what we want to encourage you to do is, you write on there, right, okay, that's great, well done, here's my number, here's my name, when can we meet? And try and meet with them within the next week. It's really important that we do follow this up and then tell John or Phil or someone, and we'll sort help you through what to say next and what to do. But Phil. So if by saying if you've prayed the prayer, if that means someone said that they want to accept Jesus and you've done what I went through and you've prayed that, Jesus, I'm sorry that I have sinned, I turn, and what I prayed said earlier, and we use as the prayer, that's what I meant by praying the prayer. So if you've done that with them and they've asked Jesus into their life, then make sure that you arrange a time to meet with them within the next week. Write your name, telephone number, get their name and number. Ideally, try and meet them in their at their house or in the pub or somewhere that would be suitable for them. It doesn't have to be the pub or cafe. It might be more appropriate. But somewhere where you can then just start on that discipleship journey, because it's really important that what we want is, we don't want just people saying a prayer and then that is it, because that's not salvation. Actually, it's an ongoing process of discipleship that we want to see, and we want, Jesus told us to go make disciples, not make people that say a prayer. And it's really important that we make sure that we continue that engagement with them. So please get their contact details, give them yours, arrange a time to meet with them. And then when you do, the first thing we need to do is go back over this, just to make sure that the gospel is really clear, that they understand. And then not just go back over that, but also when you say to them, right, we're going to meet here, ask them, who do you think you need to tell about Jesus, or who would like to know about Jesus, so that they are automatically going off and thinking, yeah, I'll invite my friend, they need to hear this, they need to know this too. So when you meet with them, hopefully it's not just them, it's somebody else. And Dave Beerham in Chefford 100 has been doing this consistently for quite a while now, and they are regularly having people ask Jesus into their lives. They arrange a meeting and mum and gran are there, or girlfriends there, boyfriends there, other people are there, and suddenly there's a small home group starting because they've got four or five people who've all just given their lives to Jesus and wanting to move forward. And that's what we want to be replicating here, that every single one of us is confident to share the gospel, to meet with someone. We'll walk you through it. We'll help you to take those next steps. You know, this is only the beginning. We will put this into the home group notes this week so that you can practice again. But it's really important that you practice. I've spent hours listening to books on the gospel, practicing how I share the gospel in 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 90, you know, I've practiced, and that's what we all need to do, is we need to get fluent and confident in how we share the gospel so that we can do this, so that we are ready when a time comes, because opportunities will come. Opportunities are there waiting, ready for you to just share your faith and share the gospel. So I hope this has been really helpful. If you are here today and you've not asked Jesus into your life, you've not asked for forgiveness of your sin, and you've not put him as Lord and Savior in your life, then today is the day that you can do that. He is just crying out for you to have that relationship with him. He wants you to know him, and he wants to forgive you. But you need to acknowledge that you need that forgiveness in the first place, so, and turn and believe to him. So if that's you, come and speak to me at the end. And I'm just going to pray before we finish. Father, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you that the power for salvation is in the gospel for those who believe, Lord God. And I want to thank you that there is a harvest that is ripe out there, Lord God. There are people who need to know the good news of you, Lord Jesus. There are God-fearing people who've never heard of you, Lord Jesus, and how are they to hear if we do not tell them? So, Father, I ask that you would help each and every one of us to understand the gospel and to be able to explain the gospel when an opportunity arises. And I pray, Father, this week that many of us would have opportunities to share the gospel, perhaps for the first time, Lord, this week, that we would come back next week and we would be sharing stories of what you've done in our lives and who you've spoken to and all those kind of things. Father, thank you that you go before us. Thank you that you reign and rule. Thank you that you promise, Lord God, that you will give us the words we need when we need them. And Father, I ask that you would help us. Father, help us to love the lost in our town, because perfect love casts out fear. And Father, your perfect love for the lost needs to emanate through us. And Lord, that love should cast out fear, fear of sharing the gospel, fear of sharing our faith. So Father, I ask that your love would just reign in us and through us afresh, and that we would be a people that go into the brokenness to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.